This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2023, held at Pleasant View School in Arcola, Illinois, on March 3 and 4.
It was the first day of the first year of my teaching career. And through a series of events, I was beginning the year in the second quarter. I couldn't leave the farm, and we'd finish planting wheat before I could start teaching. I was one of those people who desperation meant that they dug to the bottom of the barrel and found me. And that's about how it started. And so I said, well, I can't. This is a call in the middle of wheat harvest. And they said, well, you can come later if that helps. And I thought, well, sure. Not recommended. So school is going. I'm on the first day of the first year that I've ever stood in front of a classroom of 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. I was, to be clear, completely inexperienced. My first day actually went kind of okay, and it was progressing, and I was feeling a measure of comfort in my role. I had a good bunch of students that seemed to want to work. They were glad to see me because there was moms pinch hitting the first 9 weeks of school. And so that helped me. They were ready for a teacher. And moms were really grateful to have somebody step into the classroom. And so somehow that day started off pretty well. I stepped out of the classroom toward the end of the day to talk to the principal and ask a question. I got back to the classroom. I stepped out a total of 40 seconds, probably. And I come back to the classroom. There's only one exit, and I was 5 feet from it. And I noticed I'm missing two students. I didn't know that school teaching had magic tricks in it. I didn't realize that. I thought, where are these? And I didn't even know who I was missing yet. I had gotten the names, but not all the names and faces were together. I didn't know who I was missing. I had two people. I figured out, oh, it's these two. It's Gideon and it's Clark. And so I try to stay calm, cool, and collected, but you know, I had read a lot of stuff in the past 2 months before I started teaching about what you should know and think how you should be developing, what you should, and none of them talked about missing students. It just wasn't there in the material. So I tried to be fairly nonchalant about this pending disaster that I was seeing unfold in front of my eyeballs. And I saw an open window, and suddenly the lights went on for me. And I went out over to that window, and I leaned over, and I looked, and there was two boys underneath the window, and they were crouched looking a little bit like this. They saw me, and they turned their face back down, and I said, I said, I didn't know what to say. No one taught me what I should say when people leave the room and are crouched in front on the outside of the schoolroom, wondering what they should be, you know, they don't know what to do and I don't know what to do, and so I'm mm-ing for them. And they are looking at me, turning red, and in that moment, I knew something, that I know nothing about teaching. Nothing. It was my first brush with the necessity of developing as a teacher. That part of my job is going to be to learn how to communicate, how to present, how to manage, how to be in front of a group of students and keep them with me. We don't need to finish the story, do we? I do. So I didn't know what to do, so I did the only thing I could think of in that moment, and I said, well, boys, that was after the mm-ing was done. Well, boys, why don't you come back in? And they got up. I said, no, the same way you came, the same way you went out. It was one of those beautiful moments, though. See, that was the Holy Spirit that gave me that idea. That was not my cunning. I knew nothing. And Clark is tall and getting is short, really short. And they were looking at this window saying, oh, we don't know how we're going to get back in here. I said, we got to figure this out. And so they quickly did some thinking together, and they ended up, Clark held his hands out like this, right? And then Gideon stood on it, and then he came in head first, the only way to go in. into the classroom, the whole class just and we have Clark, and Gideon stepped over and helped him kind of pull his hands, and we see his fingers curling around the ledge, and pretty soon we see his face, and Gideon helped him, and he came crashing through the window. They were so embarrassed. They sat down on their desks, and I said not a word. You know why? I didn't know what to say. It's actually not that complicated, right? At the end of the day, I still have to do it. I had about 15 minutes left, and in that process of time, I was thinking a lot, and I decided, since I don't know what to do, if the Holy Spirit doesn't give me another idea, we're not going to do anything. So what I did was, I did nothing, and as I dismissed them, I said, now I want you two boys to stay back. And they came back, their heads were hanging. I said, Mr. Miller, we're sorry. I just shook my head and nodded it. Well, they said, they were starting to do the embarrassed student. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm very uncomfortable. I thought, that's a good place to be for a while. Why don't we just stay there? So we did for a few minutes. I finally said, boys, if this ever happens again, I never finished my statement. I see you guys can go. They looked at each other. There's this mix of, I'm so glad I avoided discipline, but I don't know what's coming my way. And they walked out. I didn't say another word about it. They didn't either. Good as gold all year long. Worked great. That's my introduction. I realized in that moment that developing is something that I will always need to do because I'm always confronted with something new and different. And I want to be clear that were it not for the Holy Spirit, that first day would not have gone very well. It did feel that way. Like I had actually had something from the Lord. Well, that was about 27 years ago, and hopefully I've learned a few things, but I come to you today telling you there's a long way to go for me yet. You see, we're never done growing. So this morning, I've sectioned this into three parts, and I first just want to talk about the big picture, and I hope that's okay. I decided with board members and school administrators, we're going to step back a little bit and look at why we might develop. I think it's important to actually consider the call to develop. We're going to look at the teacher as learner, and we're going to end with, both as the last two sections will be fairly practical. But I want to begin big picture. And so the call to develop. Why do we develop? And the reason I want us to think about this is because who is hiring the teachers in our schools? Who is it? You all, right? It's you. You all are making the call about who teaches. When you're looking for teachers, what are you looking for? And I would like to suggest that if you find people who feel that call to personally grow and develop, that you will be in a very good situation as a school board. If you have people coming in there saying, oh no, this is an 8 to 3:15 job, and I can walk out the door as soon as the students are gone, we have a different problem on our hands. And so it's a certain kind of person, I think, is what I'm trying to say. And so just remind us that Luke 6:40 says the disciple is not above the master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Or in the NIV it says a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Teachers cause students to learn. And if a student doesn't learn, he hasn't been taught. And as students learn, they'll become like us. They'll adopt similar habits. It's a deep responsibility for a teacher. And that's why we have to keep learning and growing. We have to keep developing. James 3:1 says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach we judge more strictly. There is increased influence, and so there should be increased accountability. So indeed, when we hire teachers, we are wanting a kind of teacher who will develop and grow and keep getting better. The commitment of the teacher. So typically I find teachers feel called for about 2 to 3 years until they find a real job or one in which they can support themselves. Unfortunate, but sometimes true, I think. But I think there's something to that long commitment look for a teacher that makes the difference. If we want them to grow and develop as teachers, they need to have a long-term mindset. If you get a short-term employee working for your business, he knows he's there for 2 months and he's out of there, what kind of productivity do you tend to get from that two-month employee? Right? And if it's a guy that comes in with the idea that says, I want to do this for 10, 15 years, it changes how they grow. It matters. You have to live with your decision. How many of you, I won't ask any of your business, but how many of you go to trade shows or DHIA meetings or whatever? Any of you go to trade? Okay. How often do you do that? Every 5 years, 10 years? No? How often do some of you go?
Once a year.
Once a year? Really? Don't you know everything there's to know about your trade? Like, really? I mean, if it's wiring, there's only so much you can do in the electrical world, surely. Or if it's DHIA, cows have been cows for a long time. They all have udders and you milk them. Or not, right? And we have tended to see our trades as needing constant improvement and growing, and the classroom teacher not as much. It's less important. And I want to say that that's a mistake that has significant implications, because we're talking about your children. I care about your cows and your wiring, but I care even more about your children. And so we need to think about, it's the committed teachers, the ones who see the long-term commitment, that end up really digging in and wanting, being hungry to learn more, to go places, to learn, to read, all of that. And I think boards should be enabling that. The short-term view militates against developing. The committed teacher strives to improve his mind in the areas that he's teaching. Edward Gordon says, and I quote, "The quality of a teacher's mind is important because it is the grinding wheel against which a student sharpens his mind." Developing as a teacher must be pursued. We don't give leftovers typically to our businesses, do we? We shouldn't give leftovers to our students either. I think it's so helpful to have teachers who care about pursuing growing. William Lyon Phelps says this, and I quote, "I do not know that I can make entirely clear to an outsider the pleasure I have in teaching. I'd rather earn my living by teaching than any other way. In my mind, teaching is not merely a life work, a profession, an occupation, a struggle. It is a passion. I love to teach. I love to teach as a painter loves to paint, as a musician loves to play, as a singer loves to sing, as a strong man rejoices to run a race. Teaching is an art so great and so difficult to master that a man or woman can spend a long life at it without realizing much more than his limitations and mistakes and his distance from his own ideal." I wanted to say I resonate with that. I feel like I'm a beginner every year. But, he says, continuing, "the main aim of my happy days has been to become a good teacher, just as every architect wishes to be a good architect and every professional poet strives for perfection." End of quote. There's something that should be within us that we actually want to grow. You were built that way. God created you that way. God created teachers that way. And you're just coming in alongside his will when you have that passion and you have to pursue it. You have to decide. You have to travel. So I want to just take a 5-second commercial break here and just say my hats are off to you men and women who've come to CASB. Most of you aren't getting paid to do this, just to be clear. And there's travel expense, there's sacrifice. That speaks to teachers loudly. I talk to a lot of principals each year, and I say, "Hey, have they ever come to CASB? Have your board ever come to CASB?" Oh, they say, "We try and try and try. I can't get anybody to go." They said, "It's kind of depressing." I'm just passing that on. So hats off, because teachers are also watching. Our board's trying to improve. There's something about wanting to pursue growing. And then finally, the desire to develop must be present. Brothers, in Philippians 3, I do not consider myself yet to have hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, we do what we feel is important. And improvement comes by effort. It is not just a handout. I just haven't figured out how you sort of get it by osmosis. You have to actually go after it. The kind of teacher you're trying to hire is the kind of teacher who actually is trying to get better, to grow. And you know what? That growth almost never happens in isolation. It is difficult to grow by yourself when no one is on that journey with you. You are built for brotherhood and community. And my observation is that teachers, that you have one teacher in a school who's really into it, working hard, and giving everything they've got, and that starts to peter out after a while because they're on the journey by themselves. I don't have time to tell you all the stories of that, but I think it happens. I think we need to think about ways to grow our teachers so they're not in isolation. Howard Hendricks tells a story. First of all, I'll just quote him, and then he tells a story. Hendricks says, "As long as you live, you learn. And as long as you learn, you live." He tells a story that he often told about one of his professors in college. So he would go to work at the dining hall at 5:30 every evening. And he would see this window of his professor's home, and he'd see his professor working in the evening, and he'd go by in the morning to go to his job there on the campus at the mess hall, and he would see this same professor, the lights on early in the morning. One day he was invited to this teacher's home, and Hendricks said, what keeps you studying? You just don't seem to stop. And Hendricks said this, "Son, I would rather have my students drink from a running stream than a stagnant pool." You see, if we're going to have something to give to students, we have to be getting something. There has to be something coming in. You were intended. Your life was not intended to be all about giving. You have to find ways to receive. That's the big picture. Developing, the call to develop. The kind of teacher you want in your school is the kind of teacher who embodies this. So let's talk a little bit about the teacher as a learner and some things about developing. How is this developing? How does growing happen? Well, the first thing is developing is gradual. You know, I think all of us wish that you could turn a switch on and just be automatically better at something. The problem is it doesn't work that way. And you can even have a really great idea that works so well this year that actually doesn't work the next year. You're just not sure why. It works so well. That is life. And so we wish it could be, growth looks like this. Instead, growth looks a lot more like this. In fact, to be clear, growth looks a lot more like this. And it keeps going up. But it actually is pretty gradual. It's a process. It requires time, energy, and focus. You see, the reality is, if at first you don't succeed, that makes you just about normal. So when we think about teachers growing and changing, we don't look for those bright, that's just a native teacher. I have met very few. Everyone says, well, you know, so-and-so, he's a natural teacher. There are gifts of teaching. I have met what I've considered to be three or four, maybe just natural teachers, where it's oozing out of their pores and you just know. They just always seem to have it, okay? I've met very few. Most of the good teachers that I've met have worked and worked and worked over the long haul. It's a gradual process in which they continue to strive toward that. Boards can help that process by realizing it is going to be gradual, but the trajectory is always going this way. There's so much in our lives right now that are changing. And to think that I can do what I do exactly the same as I did 20 years ago is not only a myth, it's the death knell to my teaching.
Students do not connect with what I did 20 years ago. I sometimes think about the, well, I'm getting old, right? The good old days. They're not really that great. There's old days, truthfully. You know, the good old days had a lot of trouble in them too. But I'll leave it. Developing requires change. Change is rarely comfortable. Change is risky. I remember a teacher, I said, well, one of the things we do in this school is we read a book together every summer. Buy the book, give it to them, and we're going to talk about it. When we come back in August, we spend a week of orientation time, and we're going to discuss that book and what we're learning, what we're going to apply. And his teacher said, I'm on summer break. I said, well, we're just asking for a book to be read. Like, we're not asking for you to come, and I'm asking you to journal large pages and create all kinds of things with this book. We just need to read it, highlight it up, and be prepared to talk about it. But she said, I'm on break. Can you feel something there? Ooh, it's a book. It's one book. It's a book. For crying out loud, it's a book. It's not hard. It's a book. Read a book, folks. It's not hard. And yet, pushing in, saying, I don't want to read a book. It's my break. Does that tell you something about the teacher? Of course it does. But part of it was, I think, for her, it involved change. What I've done, experienced teacher, 15 years, what I've done is great. It's worked. I have no need for more. And I would have to change things, and that would not be fun. I remember going to a BECA conference years ago and hearing one of the presenters proudly say that, you know, one of the things I learned to do is I make a really great lesson plan, and then what I do is I keep it. In fact, put it in plastic so that nothing happens, so I have it for years to come. Does that seem like a problem to you? You see, I use lesson plans from further back too, but they're constantly a work in progress. I'm never happy. To think about putting them in plastic to preserve them for perpetuity does not seem like a good idea to me. You see, there's something about the mindset, but it for this teacher that was presenting at this conference, for her it was, I've got it figured out, and now we're not going to change it because that would make me redo things, and I like what I've got. But developing is stewardship. God expects us to fully use the gifts that He gives us, the strengths that we have. He also expects us to develop the areas that we're weak in, to get a little bit better there. I think developing is stewardship when you think about the parable of the talents. I think it's important that we take the gifts and talents that God has given us and we grow them. So, maybe we could say that the teacher is first a learner. So I'd like to look now how the master teacher developed. In Luke 2:52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And I would like to look at those four ideas. Wisdom is intellectual development. Stature, physical development. In favor with God, spiritual development. In favor with man, social and emotional development. Teachers bring their whole selves to the classroom. You are more than a brain when you're a teacher. When you hire a teacher, you're hiring more than a brain. You're hiring a person. That person is to be sometimes we joke about just finding anyone who's living and breathing, right? We get desperate enough. Well, we definitely need that. But also this growing self, not a fragmented self, but one
where I pay attention to multiple areas of my life as I grow as a teacher. If all we expect from teachers is to get better at teaching content, we're missing something. Jesus didn't grow just in his brain. He grew in all areas of his life. So, I'd like to just give a few ideas here. Wisdom, intellectual development. So, the mind, we could say. Knowledge and its application, which is wisdom. Content, growing. We need to grow our minds. So how might I do that? And I'm giving you some ideas here that I think are very workable. And maybe if you can think of some of these ideas and ask your principal to work with some of them, and if you're the one directly responsible for teachers, think about what would fit your teachers. But first, let's go with a reading program. And this, I'm not talking about something you buy and then you get it and then they do it and then it's over. I'm talking about reading. Leaders are readers, readers are leaders. And so, reading what? Well, the Bible, books, church papers, do you know what's going on in the world? News, periodicals, books that you read together as a staff, a voracious reader. Now, one of the ways that you might help that happen is to have a bit of a plan for study that's organized, it's goal-oriented, there's some self-discipline involved that includes some accountability. It's one of the things I love about reading books together is because I can hold teachers accountable because we're doing it all together. You'd be surprised how many late nights are had by teachers the day I say that we're going to be looking at the book that night before. There's some serious midnight oil sometimes. And it's accountability. But I want teachers to be reading books. We don't read the same kinds of books. We read books about the classroom, read books about personal lives, read books, all kinds of books. But there should be books involved, reading, a study plan. There should be, I love it when teachers can take what they're learning and then apply it into their classroom. That helps you remember so much. So it's a bit of a study plan. There are principals who send each week to their teachers a chapter, a mini chapter out of a book, or they find an article and they send it to their people, and then they might email their people, and then at the next staff meeting they take the first 15 minutes to discuss that article. Some kind of plan that keeps them reading and thinking outside of just my lessons. It's anchoring when you are thinking about more than just what you're doing. There is, of course, continuing education. There's formal opportunities. There's CASBs, that's a formal opportunity. There's seminars, there's workshops, there's night classes. There's listening and conversations. There's sermons, there's audio tapes. Doc for Learning has a lot of audio on it by now. Podcasts. Help your teachers get a vision for talking to the elderly people in their community. You learn a lot from Wisdom of the Ages. That's a great way to grow. That's a great way to continue your education. This does not have to be very complicated. Have them talk to missionaries. Bring missionaries in. Great men and women in your communities. Think about travel. Travel is a great way for a teacher to grow what they know. And I know one of the things that we our family does love to do some trips. And one of the things I always do is I always like to take enough pictures and put together something for my students so I can talk about what I learned. I was in Plymouth Plantation. I saw The Rock. How have you seen The Rock at Plymouth Plantation? What a joke. It's a rock, folks. And don't even know if it's The Rock. It's just a rock. It could have been The Rock, but we don't know if it was The Rock. And so, you know, you read the stuff in history, and you're talking about The Rock, Plymouth Rock, right? But now I saw what they considered to be the Plymouth Rock, and I'm thinking, really? What was interesting was the replica of the ship, the Mayflower. And ducking down through there, about the number of people here and how many people actually died down here. And the tour guide was just fascinating, and I recorded some of it, of course, and now I get to talk to my students about what I learned firsthand from people that have studied it like everything.
You see, there are opportunities to continue our education. Don't see it as just something formal, but we have this posture in which we're always trying to learn new things and then pass it on to our students. The mind, very, very, very important to develop our minds. What I want to say about the mind is this. I think it's important that you think that you, if you're the one in charge, or you have a principal that's working this out for you, whoever's in charge of the people in your school, put together a plan. You can even do it with your staff. How will we grow this coming year? How will we grow intellectually? How will we do that? What's our plan? Well, the board's going to go to CASB, so why don't you all go to CMTI or some other seminar? Put a plan together. This is what we're going to do. We're going to read this book. Every month you're going to get this article. Put together a plan. Intentional growing makes such a difference in how well our teachers do their jobs. Stature, physical, the material. I think teachers should be developing in the area of money, being a good steward. We might not have as much to toss around as some of our peers, but it's a good idea to develop ways to take good care of your money. That's part of growing. It's the material possessions. I was very, very shaped by the fact that there was a period of time in my life in which we ate rice and beans out of necessity. I'm probably one of the few sitting here today that had that, but that was my experience for a few years. My dad lost his job in the early 90s. We were down to rice and beans, folks. It was so shaping. I developed so much through that experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I just recognize how much some of these material things actually shape us. Does the love of money shape you? Food? What about time? Personal discipline. I remember talking to a teacher. She was a veteran teacher. And there was a young man who was coming to school late. He was also the principal. He was younger, but he was the principal. She was a 15-year veteran or so, something like that. And she had this situation in her hands in which the principal would come late, even on the days when they had chapel, and he was to open the chapel. She would open the school doors in the morning, and then she would start the chapel because the principal wasn't there yet. Time development, personal management, big deal, right? And she came, she sat in my office, and she cried. Because she said, I don't want to be in charge, but obviously I have to be, or students won't get anything. And wouldn't you, let me just finish that story here. Maybe a cautionary tale. They worked with it, and he did a little bit better along the way, and they hired him back the next year. And she left the school. She said, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to answer students' questions. Why is Mr. So-and-so always late? I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to deal with it. Time. It's actually an important part of developing. We develop our sense of time, timeliness, etc. Proper diet, exercise plan, rest. Oh boy, I know. It's getting pretty personal. But these are all areas. One year I asked some of my staff to put down a goal in each of these areas. How will I grow in this area? What's a personal thing that I can do to grow in this area? You see, teachers are not just brains. Teachers are whole people. And their view and vision, and if they're developing or not developing in these other areas, really affects the classroom. They are whole people, and they're teaching whole people. Favor with God, spiritual development. What is good for the mind is also good for the spirit, by the way, it seems like, and good for the body, kind of good for the spirit too, right? So a lot of these things actually apply, but devotional life, disciplines, personal disciplines, Bible reading, prayer. Talk about those things with your staff. Relationships with people. You develop spiritually with other people. Jesus intended us to live our lives not in isolation, but in brotherhood. We do it with each other. That's one reason why we pray together several times a week as a staff in the morning. Not real long. We spend 10 minutes praying. Because we need it. But we do it in relationship with other people. Not just by myself, but with the staff.
There's ways to grow. We break up in small groups sometimes, different ways you can do this, but developing spiritually, relationships, prayer, Bible reading, these things are all important. Remember, the spiritual life of the teacher is one of the most important components in their life because it is the source by which you teach. And yet it's often easily neglected. But all teaching ought to be rooted out of who we really are. And then socially, in favor with men. Social and emotional development. Friendship, I'll go back to friendships now. I think teachers need friends outside of just themselves and their comfort zone. They need small children and teenagers and elderly people, and they need to interact with their students. But the friendships, they need to think about developing socially. Teachers can get very narrowly focused and live in a bubble. Don't let them live in a bubble. Offer them alternatives outside of themselves. I think one of the things that I think about is that everyone you meet, you should see them as someone that you can learn from. One of the things that I love about this event is because I know I can learn from every one of you. There are things you can teach me. You have experiences that I don't have. You have maturity in areas that I'll never have. But I can talk to you and I can learn things. And I come away enriched because of you. That is important, I think. The relationships, the ability to learn from others. Get teachers to think this way, folks. It's an ongoing process. Maybe I'll just remind you here. Hendricks says this, and I love this too. Experience does not necessarily make you better. In fact, it tends to make you worse, unless it's evaluated experience. The good teacher's greatest threat is satisfaction. The failure to keep asking, how can I improve? The greatest threat to your ministry is your ministry. I think that's probably true more than just school boards and teachers. And I think what I'm calling for here with teachers is something similar to what I hope for and wish for our boards. I actually think boards can read books together too. Did you ever think about that? They could also get a weekly email. We're actually talking at Faithfulness right now about starting something that would offer materials for you to send to your board members each month to read and have a little discussion about maybe some study guide questions, just to keep us thinking about what we're doing. Because just as we ask our teachers to grow, probably it wouldn't hurt us to do the same. Okay. Let's just say a few things here yet about improvement, about developing, about growing. Improvement should be constant. What's easy, what I see happening often is we get this great idea and we go for it, and it's like a flash in the pan. It's a burst, it's great, we see the results, and it's not continued. It's a great one-off. Doing anything but fits and starts seldom produces the desired outcome. It's the long, steady pull. And so I'm coming back to some of the things I said at the beginning. Improvement is this long process. Teachers who fail are almost always those whose interest in developing does not last over a long period of time. At no point, regardless of how many years of experience a teacher has, should they be able to rest on their laurels. For years of experience does not eliminate the need to grow. I just want to say this. Remember, our students are being asked in our schools to grow every day, to change their mind every day, to incorporate new ideas into their heads and remember them. And if teaching is what we say it is, then the teacher needs to model that. And so it's a long process, just like it is for students. They don't always get it the first time either. Our teachers won't either. But that mindset is mission critical. So I like to suggest that we think about a plan for improvement. And that is coming back to what I was saying earlier. What is the plan? How will we develop this year? It does not need to be the same every year, but what can we do this year? What do our teachers need this year? And help them do it along the way. You see, it's the little things that actually add up to something big, not just the one-off big deal. It is the continued growth. Why do you think in church, we go to church every Sunday? Do you know what happens at church every Sunday? We have a sermon every Sunday. You know what book we use? It's called the Bible. We've been using that book for several thousand years, and we're still preaching out of it. Why? Folks, there's more to learn, isn't there? We're never done. But we need a plan. Planned growth. Thinking about study, particularly. And I want to just say again, study and reading is so important for a teacher. We talked a little bit about, through other people, the relationship side, working with the principal. If you're the principal, think about ways that you'll help your people grow. Ask them questions. Ask them to evaluate your teaching. If you're a principal here, you should have the board come in and evaluate you. It's really neat. Boards don't really like to evaluate teachers. Did you know that? How many of you love to evaluate teachers? There's probably a few. There's a few, always a few. And that's good. But many of you are like, I don't know what I'm looking for. That's okay. You should be in there anyway. You see, that helps you understand maybe how these teachers can grow. What's an area we want to grow? I'm running out of time very quickly. Fellow teachers, so we have principals, we have co-teachers. Sometimes there's competition in schools where they compare themselves among themselves, which is not wise. But I really think a part of growing is actually talking together, is being together, giving ideas together, and putting down the intimidation and the jealousy and humility working alongside each other. Next year I plan to have small groups of teachers, and we're going to meet once a week for 45 minutes, and we're going to bring a lesson plan, and we're going to talk about it and work it over and help each other with the lesson plan. It's terribly personal. They're looking forward to it kind of with sort of a, I hope I survive this kind of feeling. And that's okay. But we're going to work on that because I think it should be done with people. We ought to observe teaching. Visit other classrooms. Visit other schools. Learn from watching others. And I'll just end with this here. The master teacher. There's only one model, and that's Jesus. Jesus every day took people from things they didn't know to things they could know. And used simple everyday things. And I think for us, we can do the same in growing our teachers. After all, we have the Holy Spirit. He's there. He helped me that first day of school. He'll help your teachers. And I think we need to be very, very, very intentional about relying on the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the master teacher. We had a chart for our children when they were growing up. And Brendan, our oldest son, would periodically stand up to the mark. We'd put a ruler up, and he would look at how far that ruler was inching up, you know. And one day he told me, I came home from school, he said, "Damn, Mom measured me, and I'm getting big." And then he paused and he said, "Daddy, do you always keep growing?" God bless you.
Thank you for listening. For additional recordings produced by the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee, visit The Dock for Learning at www.thedockforlearning.org.